Thank you all for coming. I think we can begin. Tracy, could you call the roll?
Certainly. Starting with the proud breeder of Twisted Tom, an entrant in the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, from Stepwise Farm, Dr. Bill Wilmot. Another breeder member, Senator Howard Nolan. Our controller, Jill Boissier. Our attorney, Kyle Flaherty. Chairman, John Paclemba. Commissioner Richard Ball from the Ag Department. From the NYTB Inc., Jeff Canizzo, and breeder member Joe McMahon. And also we have two New York Thoroughbred Fellowship students here, Alexis Kania and Christy Markowski. And also Jackie Zub is here, and our registrar, Adam Lawrence.
Thank you, Tracy. I note the presence of a quorum, and we'll move on to item number two, consideration of minutes from the March 28th, 2017 meeting. You were all given a copy of the minutes prior to this meeting. Does anyone have any amendments or proposed changes? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to approve the minutes of the March meeting.
Joe is raising his hand.
I had a question, if I may. On the, we passed a motion to authorize the fund to pay 100% of the person Richmond last year to Finger Lakes, consistent with provisions of the term sheet. And I'm wondering if we're going to review the term sheet today, or we're going to see that, or go over if we're, how we're doing on that deal?
Yes, we're going to be considering that later on in as part of the meeting. So
I didn't bring the term sheet. I didn't know that was going to be discussed.
I did bring one document that Finger Lakes provides us with, a weekly report that shows where our awards have been paid out to date. So it doesn't have a lot on it because there hasn't been a lot of racing yet, but there are some statistics that are available there on that.
That's part of the discussion on
the
show, of course.
We've said we're going to go over that on a regular routine basis. So I just bring it up just as a reminder.
Okay. Oh, I thought we were going to discuss turf in executive session.
Are you talking about reviewing the term sheet itself or sort of monitoring compliance with the term sheet?
It says here the Racing Association consistent with the provisions of the term sheet, and that's what I want to make sure that we're consistent with the term sheet.
Yes.
Okay.
That Jill has.
I think I've got documentation that I can provide to you for what we've spent so far. Okay.
Can you include that in your report?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Senator Nolan to approve the minutes, second by Member Canizzo. All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Moving on to number three, the April year-to-date financials. Jill.
Okay. So everybody has a packet on the April financial reports that were emailed. And basically, April was not a great month for us as far as our revenues had gone down a little bit more than what we had budgeted, actually significantly lower. It was about 81,000 less than what we had budgeted. And we had really strong awards in April. If you look at the owner awards for the month of April, they were $95,000 over budget and $110,000 over the prior year. The thing that I find, and when we do some committee meetings, is the awards are kind of, they fluctuate a lot, and especially the owner awards. So I kind of drilled down on the owner awards to see exactly why there was such a big increase for over this month over last year in April. And it basically came down to two stakes races and the fact that the New York Reds won them. And there were two differences in the New York Sired and two in the Sired, which was about almost $55,000 right there in additional awards. So a couple of races and a couple of, you know, changing from third place to first place makes a big difference in the awards that we pay out. But that's where it stood in April. If you looked at the bottom line, the operating income, it was a negative $226,000 for the month, which brought us to the year. At this rate, we would be about $458,000 short based on what we had budgeted. So I took May May, we also got the majority of our revenue, 58% last year, came from Resorts World. So it's a very important piece of our revenue. The awards and purse enrichments are about 90% of our expenses. So we can just look at those two numbers and get a good feel for where we're standing. So I did that for the month of May, and we were only about 16,000 short to what we had budgeted, and our awards were significantly lower by about $150,000. So it looks like, based on my estimates on May, we're going to be reducing this negative 458 year to date to about 325. So we're on the right path. A lot of it depends on the year, what we're going to have to pay out in awards, and how Resorts World, if we start getting some increased revenues there. I just want to again comment, one other thing is Resorts World, we're looking very carefully at the numbers that are coming in from that. And there was an additional concern that we had in the month of April, in May, because some conversation said that the new VLT machines were going to be added in May. And when I looked at the weekly VLT reports that came in, we were actually losing additional machines, and got a little nervous, and Tracy reached out to Gaming Commission and asked them about that, and they had commented that new machines were going to be added around the end of September. I did do a pull a report just before I left for this meeting today, and it looks like those machines have actually gone back up, so I'm thinking they might have been replacing machines. And it looks like it affected the May revenues, but I'm hoping for improvements in June, because now we actually have 20 more machines as of June 3rd, 20 more machines than we had year to date in 2017. So we did have a small increase. Maybe it's gonna go up more. I don't have additional information on that, but I'm still cautiously optimistic that we're okay with this budget that we've got here. It's gonna, once we have a full 6 months to look at, we'll meet with the audit committee regarding, we'll have to start putting together the budget for 2018, and we'll discuss what we've done for 2017 and if we need to make some major modifications or if we're gonna keep on going month to month and seeing how things look. But I think we're okay, and hopefully the news gets better as the months go on. So the only other thing I do want to comment on, the last page of the financial report, there's an accounts receivable aging, and if you notice on that, there's two of our OTBs, Capital and Catskill. Both of them are over 90 days past due as of the end of April. In the past, they tended to run a little bit late, and then I would get, the fund would get a payment the following month once they reached that point. We received from Capital on May 3rd, we received the $44,000, the latest payment. Usually we would get 3 months worth. We only received 1 month. So they're paying now even a little bit more, what I would say, more delinquently or less to our benefit, cash flow wise. So they require some watching. Catskill OTB is even in worse position. That $19,000 is still outstanding. And they also will owe us for May once that's posted. So at this point, they owe us for the entire year of 2017. We haven't received anything for 2017. I've been reaching out to them. I don't really have an answer on a payment, so this could become a potential problem.
Which one is that?
Catskill OTG.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the one that we're kind of watching very closely right now to see. We can't force them to pay.
Well, they're breaking the law, technically, because are they going past the quarterly payments? So by statute, they're required to pay the fund quarterly.
Have we sent letters?
Yes.
No, we haven't sent letters.
But you've called, right?
I've called, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I think...
Called and emailed. I have email correspondence, but...
I think when you get to this point, there should be letters sent.
Okay.
When you get to a certain point, and it sounds like both of them are at that point where you want to more formalize it a little bit more.
Okay.
I can work with you guys.
Okay, that would be perfect. Okay, great.
Well, what about 30 or 60 days? The letter goes out 60 days?
I think 60 days.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, most of the other ones, they pay within a reasonable amount of time. The OTBs do have a 90-day window. So the other three, I don't have any issue with them reaching that. The Nassau, Suffolk, and Western. Some of these smaller harness tracks, you look at the dollar amounts are not that big. But there's nobody that we have a real problem with. Anybody that's like Yonkers was a little past due, I'm sure they probably brought that within limits. And I do I do reach out to them if they extend past what they normally do. But Catskill and Capitol were the two that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention, just so that we monitor them a little closer. And I'll take Kyle's suggestion and we'll send out some formal letters on that.
Have we ever had this problem in the past?
Not since I've been here, but I know there is some history with the New York City and
yes, and then other OTBs saying,
how was it resolved?
Statute. So that's why that in 2000.
So a statute was passed to resolve it, and since the statute was passed, we haven't had a problem.
No, correct. So the New York City OTB, which I think dates back to 2010 time frame, there was an issue, and with the resulting change to the law required that all OTBs pay quarterly.
And I think they took the position, didn't they, that they didn't. There was no time frame in the law.
That's correct.
So therefore, they could pay whenever they wanted to.
And now there is a time frame.
Yes.
So if they exceeded that, technically we could sue them to get the money.
And then we did.
Yes,
we do have something.
We've never looked at that specifically, but yes, I'm sure we could.
The Suffolk OTB, I just wanted to bring up. That's another one that there was an issue in the past in 11 and 12, I believe, where they filed bankruptcy. So we still have actually a line item on our financial statements on a possible collection of a write-off, an amount that was written off back in those days. There is still some conversation about that being paid back with these, once the VLTs were installed and up and running.
We were given assurances that would be paid back.
Over a period of years.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the April financial statements, or?
Can you address that Finger Lakes issue?
I can, yes. So what I was provided by Finger Lakes, usually every Monday they send us a report. So as of June 3rd, we've paid out the funds portion of purse enrichments or purse payments in Finger Lakes races has been about $376,000. Most of those, there was 9 maiden special weight races and that were restricted. And then the rest were allowance races, 1x, 2x, there's all kinds of different qualifications. And then there were 11 New York Stallion Awards that were paid out. So the difference in the maiden special weight, the restricted races versus the payout is that a couple of them were paid out on open company maiden special weight races. So $376,000 is what.
You're talking about the $7,000 bonus to a New York sired maiden special weight
correct
winner?
11 of those were paid out as of June 3rd.
So if we, have you looked at a trend on that at all about what that'll do with by the end of the year?
I have. I've been keeping track. I don't know, scorecard.
I think
what's going on there. And the easiest answer is that realistically, if they continue to run these races the way they have, which has been successful, so what we're doing is actually working very nicely for them. they're going to run out of the money, and they'll run out of the ability to go to the offer that bonus.
So when are you?
It's all based on how many of the races they run every month, which they totally control.
Just comparatively to last year, how many maiden races do we have?
I don't have that.
I think there were 39 last year won by New York sired horses, maidens.
Right, and we already have a lot.
So I think we ought to look at that kind of, we ought to be tracking that.
For the next meeting, we could have this as a separate agenda item and distribute the term sheet to all of the members.
Okay. And
just have someone prepared to give an update on compliance with the term sheet. Any other questions for Jill? I have a motion to accept Jill's report on the April financials. Motion by Commissioner Ball, second by Dr. Wilmot. All in favor?
Aye.
The report is approved. Next item has to do with the purchase of a postage machine. Jill.
Okay, we received a notice in the beginning of May stating that our postage machine was no longer going to be serviced or maintained. It's over 10 years old, and we reached out to Pitney Bowes that sold us the original machine for a price quote. They also have a New York State contract through OSG, which doesn't require us, if we use the OSG contract system, we don't have to go out for bids. And so we were given a quote, which is included here, for a new system for approximately $7,167.80. You know, we send out award checks every 2 months. We send out over 4,000 checks a year. Our highest number of checks is usually in January when we send out the holdbacks. In that point, we can send up to 1,000 checks. The system is not an advanced system by any means, but it does do a lot of the automated running through of the checks. So, you know, rather than having to lick envelopes, I mean, put postage on the machine. But we felt that we really needed at this point to look into, since that other machine isn't going to be serviced or maintenance. If it goes wrong during the middle of a mailing, we're kind of stuck. So we're looking for an approval to purchase this machine for the $7,000.
It says May 31st.
They actually extended it until we mentioned that we needed to get the board's approval on this, so they did guarantee that price to June 30th.
A motion by Senator Nolan to approve the purchase, second by Dr. Wilmot. Any discussion? Any questions for Jill? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's approved. Next item is the consideration of the ABO report on board member training. Tracy?
The authority's budget office, under which we operate, has taken a look at all public authorities to see if their board members are complying with the training that they say is required to serve on boards. So, we did receive a letter from them, and we did respond to it because they noted that we had a board member that's serving who hasn't taken training. So, and we have emailed the board members, to tell them that this is something that they have to be done. And sometime this month, the ABO is going to send us information about courses they will be offering in July, so that any board members that aren't in compliance can catch up and take that training. And the letter from them said that failure to comply with the training requirements could be followed up with further action by the ABO, including ability to censure and remove board members. So that shows that they really are quite serious about people taking training. And in fact, they recommend that people who've already had training take a refresher course every 3 years. So, and this year I did give training to several of the board, the breeder members.
Okay. That was a different training.
That was the ethics.
Yeah, this is,
this is fiduciary duties.
So, do we all need to take this right now, or who's?
Well, I don't think in a public forum, you know, maybe in the executive session, I can say who's behind, but, you know, that person knows that they need to take the training.
Any questions for Tracy? I don't think we have to take any action on that.
No.
We have several potential litigation matters that we need to discuss in executive session. Take a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
Commissioner Ball, second by Jeff Canizzo, and we'll now go into executive session.